Time for us to talk some Red Sox baseball and more as we're joined on the GNM Family Market phone line by the television voice of the Red Sox. It's Dave O'Brien joining us. Hi, Dave.
Rich, how are you? How are things going?
Just wonderful. Spring has arrived, and we're ready for some baseball and ready to see green grass and blue skies at JetBlue Park and eventually at Fenway.
Eventually at Fenway, that'll be true. We know that's the case, and even though there's been a little bit of snow at Four Yawkey Way, blanketing the ballpark and places all around New England, and it's starting to melt. You know, my neck of the woods in New Hampshire, that's certainly the case. And, you know, I'm with you. I think that, you know, I've already been to camp a couple of times, heading down again on Thursday, and my first Nesson broadcast will be on Saturday in Bradenton. And just, you know, really dying to get going and see how good this team is, because on paper and every other, you know, analytic we can read about with the Boston Red Sox of 2017, this is a team that's going to challenge for a world championship.
And it's been a pretty quiet camp so far, and I kind of expect that will continue. There aren't a lot of questions to be answered here in preseason.
No, there aren't. It's a very tranquil camp, and you know, you've got a better chance to land a job on this edition of the Red Sox than Ruznay Castillo, and and he's been the talk of the camp because of a couple of base running mistakes. And you know, when that's the lead item and the only thing that, you know, brings any controversy is that, you know, he hasn't hustled enough and he's made a couple of base running errors. You know, when that's the big deal in camp, that it's a very, very quiet and I think in a good way, a very tranquil camp for the Red Sox.
Pablo Sandoval looking good from what we've seen so far, even trying to lay down a bunt the other day, for goodness sakes.
You know, he can do that. He handles the bat well. He swings a lot of pitches. He always has. The strike zone's large. But the good news is he's not. He's lost all of that weight. You know, he's down a good 40 pounds. He looks darn right slender by his standards. And you know, the big thing, Rich, is going to be, as you and I both know, and everybody who's watched him, and it's been a little while since we've seen him, you want to see a lot less of him in terms of that physique when the season gets deep. You know, when he gets into June, July, and August, and he's taking those long road trips, is he going to be able to keep the weight off, eat smarter, eat better, make better decisions, not eat late after games? He's always battled that. I got to tell you, though, he's one of the nicer guys you're going to meet. He's a sweetheart of a guy. I know this doesn't mean much to most people, especially if he hits 230 and makes mistakes at third base defensively. Nobody cares what a nice guy he is. And he's had, you know, his own dalliances on social media that have got him into some trouble. But, you know, he's not really that big of a controversial guy. That's not been the case in San Francisco until after he left. It really shouldn't have been the case in Boston. He's had two miserable years. He really tore up that labrum. The surgery was very successful. I remember talking to him last year and at the end of the season when, of course, he was out of the lineup. He was recovering from the surgery, and he was beaming. He was talking about, oh, I'm way ahead of schedule on this injury, and the surgery went great. And he couldn't wait to start playing again. And I have a feeling he's going to have a fine year because it was taken away from him for an entire season. You know, something he really does love to do, which is to go out there and swing the bat in major league games.
I look at Rick Porcello last year, who had such a remarkable season, coming off a disappointing year, and he talked about some of the struggles, some of the pressure that he put on himself playing in Boston. Pablo Sandoval addressed that as well. I wonder if that also might bode well, even though 17 wins and 230 innings shouldn't be considered a bad year in anybody's book, but can we expect even more from David Price this year?
We should. We absolutely should expect more than that, because that's a middle-of-the-road season for a guy making that kind of coin and a guy we thought might make a run at 20 wins. And, you know, he should be able to trim down that ERA and be more comfortable pitching inside Fenway Park. You know, he allowed more home runs than he should have. I thought he walked more people than I thought was acceptable, particularly in games at Fenway where he seemed a little gun-shy to me. And I know that happens to pitchers in tight spots at Fenway Park, where all of a sudden old Fenway closes in on you and that wall feels like it's right at your back. And I thought that was surprising for a guy who's pitched a lot of innings at Fenway while with Tampa Bay and with other clubs, that, you know, he didn't seem to be as effective while pitching in Boston. I'd like to see him stay off social media a little bit. I thought he allowed that to get to him, and going back and forth with fans, and, you know, he allowed that to get under his skin. You know, he really should get up with somebody like Dustin Pedroia, who was there in the Carl Crawford era, as short as that was, and say, hey, look, you know, Dave Price, don't do this. Don't do the things that got Crawford in trouble because he couldn't handle playing in Boston. David Price is a very, very bright guy. He went to Vanderbilt, very smart. That's a tough school academically. He flourished there over time. I think he's done that, obviously, in his major league career. Everyone talks about the fact that he hasn't won a postseason game. I think that's just a matter of time before that happens, and then he's going to win a couple, and then there goes that number with the big goose egg right out the window. So that's certainly my hope, that he'll settle in this second year as Porcello did and other players have done.
We're talking with Dave O'Brien here on Downtown. Andrew Benintendi had such a wonderful turn with the Red Sox last year for a guy who's never had any experience at the AAA level. Do you see him continuing that growth? Will there be some struggles, some bumps in the road along his path this season?
I don't expect so, Rich. I didn't see it last year. You know, I still remember that wonderful catch he made down in Tampa Bay, you know, leaping up against the wall. And I remember that beautiful swing of his. And, you know, he's got a chance to really be a really good player and maybe an all-star level player because he's got that beautiful swing. You know, he's kind of a heartthrob. I think he has a chance to be a very popular player. And he's just very quiet. You know, he's one of those guys who's never going to say anything to light up the Twitter boards or anything else for that matter. I think what he'll do is step in, do his job, you know, probably hit around 300. I'd be surprised if he didn't. I'd be surprised if playing in Boston got to him in any way, shape, or form. I'm excited to see what this kid's going to do on an everyday basis. And you know, he's going to hit down in the order. There's not going to be any pressure on him. Even without Big Poppy, it's a really good lineup. It might not be a 900-run lineup, but this is a kid who can do some things. You know, he can hit behind runners. He can slice the ball into the gaps. He can run a little bit. You know, he's been a base stealer to some degree in the minor leagues. He can do that again. I think that's one thing that John Farrell is going to do. He's going to want to run a lot more. One thing you couldn't do with David Ortiz and with Big Poppy was batting and men were on base, you didn't want to run. You didn't want to run into outs. Well, I think the Red Sox are going to be a more aggressive team on the bases. Benintendi's part of that.
Everybody sending best wishes to your partner, Jerry Remy. Have you talked to Jerry lately about how his recovery is going?
I did just a couple of days ago, Rich, and he sounded like a million bucks. He sounded like he could have broadcast that day. It's one of the things he said. He said, you know, if we had a game tonight in Boston, I would be able to drive to Fenway. And for Jerry, that would probably be around 9 a.m. for 7 o'clock first pitch. And, you know, he'd be ready to go. He said, I would be able to do the game. I would have no trouble doing that. So right now he's waiting on doctor's orders to be cleared to be able to fly. That's the biggest thing, to get down to Fort Myers. And he will do three or four games at the very end of spring training and then be ready to go. But he sounded great. He sounded very, very upbeat. You know, it's three or four times now where he's battled this. And as you know, when you've been a cancer victim, you're susceptible to have to fight it again. And that's just what Jerry has to live with at this point. But he sounded wonderful. He sounded as if he were ready to go, and I know he's itching to. I thought he had a great year in the booth last year. A great year in the booth. And, you know, there were many times I sat next to him and went, wow, I can't believe you saw that or knew that was coming. And, you know, building off of that, it was our first year in the booth together. And I know I can't wait to get at it the second year, and I think Jerry feels the same way.
I would agree with it completely. I thought it was a wonderful pairing. Not that we didn't think it would be, but it's always tough to change partners along the way, and both of you had to do that. But I thought it worked out wonderfully. We look forward to hearing Jerry on another 115 games plus this season. Now, what about basketball? You're traveling the country doing games for ESPN. Where's your next stop?
Yeah, I'm talking to you right now from the Raleigh-Durham Airport and about to get over to Duke University. I have a game tomorrow night involving Mike Krzyzewski's Blue Devils, who have had a really interesting season, playing Florida State. And both of those teams are still in the running for the ACC regular season title. It's interesting about basketball fans in New England because they really don't lock into college basketball until March because it gives them a lot to bet on, you know, if they're inclined to do that. So, you know, they want to see that money exchanging hands. I don't think they follow it that closely. but that'll be tomorrow night will be my 42nd college basketball game of the season since baseball ended. So it's been very busy. I've seen Kentucky six or seven times. I've had Kansas. I've had North Carolina eight or nine times. Duke about a half a dozen times. So, you know, Dick Vitale is my partner most of the time. Doris Burke as well. Jay Billis, get to work with some wonderful people. But it's funny, even my neighbors say, hey, it must be great to have all this downtime in the winter. You know, you must not wait until spring training. I'm like, you know, if you put on ESPN on any given night, you might see me there. I apologize, but I'm on a lot. I'm on way too much. I'm sick to death of seeing myself. But I like North Carolina to win the national championship, by the way.
Were you shocked by the BYU upset of Gonzaga?
No, I wasn't, because they had beaten them the previous two times. And even though BYU isn't great, I figured eventually I thought Gonzaga's schedule had been light anyway. And you saw where they tumbled today. I think they moved down to number four in the national rankings when the polls came out today, even though that was their only loss of the season. That's an indicator that those who vote in the Associated Press poll were not convinced of their strength of schedule enough to be a true number one.
Well, Dave, we'll be watching tomorrow night, I can tell you that, and look forward especially to seeing you this weekend down at Bradenton for the Red Sox, your first NESN broadcast of the season. We appreciate you making time for us here this afternoon.
Rich, great chatting with you, and I look forward to seeing you very soon.
All right, thanks, Dave. Dave O'Brien, voice of the Red Sox on NESN here on Downtown. Red Sox Reports brought to you by our friends at Gagan's Pub and Craft Brewery, Main Street in downtown Bangor. Mug Club Monday tonight. Stop on into Gagan's. Great pub food with an Irish twist. American-style craft beers brewed right on site. They open every day for lunch, dinner, and drinks starting at 11 a.m.